Thanks for choosing us. Welcome to the last week of September. Hard to believe Saturday we start October. A lot going on, and a lot of the focus this morning has been on the aftermath of what happened at Kennywood late Saturday night. Larry Richard with Marty Griffin, the Big K Morning Show, and joining us on our Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline is the Superintendent of Allegheny County Police, Christopher Curran. Superintendent, good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate your time.
Superintendent, we're getting all sorts of messages and information from folks who say that you're looking at the possibility that whoever used this gun jumped the fence and threw the gun over. Are you looking at that, sir?
Yes, that is a possibility. That's probably a likely scenario is how they subverted the weapon detection system at the entrance.
And Kennywood has said they have the latest technology that they upgraded and installed for this season. So I'm not sure exactly what that is, but we do hear people that say it wasn't as buttoned up a entry process as some people might think.
Well, my understanding is they got the more modern system, similar to what they have at Heinz Field and at some of the venues at the Cultural District, and it's referred to as a weapon detection system. It's a more modern version of the magnetometers that were used in the past. The patrons pass through this system just as they come past the ticketing area when they come in to present their tickets or their phones or whatever type of passes they have. I think a lot of people don't realize they're passing through that system. It's monitored by someone from the park with an iPad, and they pull out anyone that they see something that they think is may have a weapon or is suspicious. And they are then directed, if you have a bag, you're directed to a bag check area.
Plus, Superintendent, so, I mean, you said it. I don't care what security system you have. If, in fact, these teenagers are jumping over the fence on that massive park in the middle of the night and throwing a gun over, that system wouldn't have made a difference, sir.
That's correct. And, I mean, they have an ongoing issue with teenagers jumping the fence just to beat the admission charge. So they got a lot of fence line, you know, along 837, and that's an ongoing issue for them.
Yeah, I think as a patron, and I've gone like many Pittsburghers multiple times over the years, you don't think about that when you're inside the park. You don't even look at the fences. It doesn't make any difference to you. But I guess now they got to scrutinize that too.
Yeah, that's correct.
How difficult is it, Superintendent, to get anybody? And again, we have multiple witnesses to step up and identify the perpetrator who pulled the trigger.
Well, you know, an event that occurs in a crowd or in a crowded location, it doesn't necessarily make it easier. You know, everybody focuses on different aspects of the event and sees different things. Sometimes we get contradictory information, and it takes a lot of work to sort through that information. On top of the other things we're dealing with, the venue itself was dark because of the Fright Night environment. You know, it's dark. They have the smoke. So it was not the best lit area to begin with. So that's another thing we have to overcome.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Do you know, sir, who you're looking for by chance, sir?
A specific individual?
Yes, sir.
No, we do not.
So if anybody has any additional information, what's the best recourse? What do you recommend, Superintendent Kearns?
We can be reached through our tip line at 1-833-ALL-TIPS. We can also be reached on our social media. That the tip line is 1-833-255-8477. We're interested in speaking to anyone who may have witnessed the incident, witnessed anything that preceded the incident, has any information they think might be able to help us, and we're also interested in anyone that may have video from that night.
Can't thank you enough for your time this morning. Important information. Thank you.
Thank you.
Superintendent Allegheny County Police, Christopher Kearns.
Larry, I never heard that. Had you heard that all these people jumped the fence?
No.
No.
And why would you, up until now, as to Superintendent Kearns' point, a lot of them were just doing that to jump so they didn't have to pay. But, you know, now it's reached a whole different level.
Have you seen that fence? It's high.
I never paid any attention to the fence, but I guess you're going to see it now. And
man,
what do they have to do to make it safer? I guess we'll find out and continue to follow the story.
County police do a hell of a job, by the way.
And apparently this has gone back to the 80s. You're going to hear from a guy who said, oh, yeah, we used to do that back in the day. They're still
with guns.
Still doing it now.
Yeah.
That is a possibility. 918
News Radio, KDKA, Larry Richard and Marty Griffin. So we'll continue to follow the latest. Just talked to Allegheny County Superintendent of Police.
It's amazing.
Christopher Kearns. And earlier this morning, Marty, you got a message from somebody who says jumping the fence in Kennywood has been going on for a long time. His name is Van.
One of my boys.
And here's what he told the Big K Morning Show.
Marty, any black man from the city of Pittsburgh over 45, Marty, 45, 50 years old, knows this was going to happen for the last 30 years. This has been going on since I was a teenager in the 90s. I had a felony gun charges, Marty. Fortunately, I got expunges, this and that, when I was 16 years old. These kids and teenagers have had guns in the park since then.
Hold on. Describe a scenario about how you and others got in the park, Kennywood, in the 90s with guns.
Marty, you find somewhere to get over the fence, a little opening or whatever, when people aren't around paying attention, and you hop over, especially like evening time to twilight, nighttime. It's not hard at all. For years, I'm 46 years old.
And these were gang wars or turf wars back then?
This was gang activity, gang whatever was going on, this and that. You knew that certain picnics, Maury, McKeesport, Penn Hills, Woodland Hills or whatever, Wilkinsburg, certain picnics, you knew that there was going to be activity, fights and things like that. So you carried a weapon. We carried weapons in school when I was a kid. The metal detectors weren't like that, but it's a reality of life for some kids, Maury.
I don't know.
It may surprise people to know that it has been going on. That's something you wouldn't even think about.
There's no way. There's no way. And it makes perfect sense. I don't know what they do. There's no way in hell Kennywood can electrify that fence. You can't do that.
Electrify.
Come on, man.
So what do you do? What do you do? Now they get a barb wired up or I don't know.
They get taller. I don't know, Larry. Larry, we've been going there since we were kids. Did you ever have a friend or anyone that jumped the fence?
No.
No.
No, I didn't.
And have you been to Idlewild?
It's been a while, but yeah, many times.
My favorite park. They check nothing. They check no one.
At Idlewild?
Ever. And I love the place. So now,
you've never heard of any incident there either.
That's what I'm saying. I love it. You pull up in your car. It's all families. So now we're at a time and place in America. Now people are saying, move the park, take away busing. I think it's completely inappropriate and unbelievable racist. The Post memes calling it Kennyhood. That's unbelievably racist. At the end of the day, this is an American problem. This is also a problem that Kenny would better address because, Larry, right now, there are a lot of folks who do not feel comfortable taking their kids there at night.
Here's one witness from the shooting.
We asked the security guard what happened, and he's like, there's an active shooter, we're on lockdown. All of a sudden, towards the right, where you could go, and so when you leave the tunnel, we went to the left. Towards the right is where the gunshots came from, and we started taking off to our car, and we all made it to our car. They ducked down in the car, and we got out.
An active shooter on site. We're in a lockdown.
You always think, like, you hear these stories and everything like that, and then you think, like, it couldn't be me. You hear it, and then you don't realize that it could be you until you're in it.
You imagine, though, some of the parents that were outside waiting for the kids that were inside, and then when they realized what was going on, trying to get in touch. Unfortunately, most kids have cell phones with at least text, but the moments of panic and anxiety.
And we had an employee even call us, and they were hunkered down, and they were afraid, and they didn't know what to do. And they didn't know the plan.
Although this 22-year-old that we checked in who works there, you asked him directly, you going to go back to work? And he said, yes. He said, this is, an extraordinary circumstance, but at doesn't do anybody any good. Now, Kennywood will be scrutinized, as that process should be. But to your point earlier, Marty, where do you go anywhere in these days where it's not a possibility?
And then you heard the superintendent. They have no real decent surveillance video, Larry, because it was at night, right? The lights are low. It's a kind of a fright night thing. And they have no witnesses that have come forward because no one wants to help anyone solve a crime, ever.
And guess what? This isn't unique, certainly, to this city. In fact, we're the opposite. Even though we hear shootings every night in certain neighborhoods, and it's easy to dismiss because people go, well, that's not where I live. You go to places like Philadelphia.
It's unbelievable.
Chicago.
It's unbelievable.
St. Louis, New Orleans. You could name a whole bunch of American cities where multiple. And hear this. For those that think this is just in America, from Moscow this morning, a gunman opened fire in a school in central Russia today, killing 13 people, including 7 children, and wounded 21 others. This just happened today in central Russia.
At a school. My God.
So this is the, you want to know? This is the world we live in. Unfortunately, that's the truth. 925 at KDKA.
From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center.
AAA traffic is powered by Bowser Chevrolet, Pittsburgh Chevy headquarters. Let's get back to Kathy Bergren. Look at that. A little sunshine has emerged.
Yeah, it looks a little bit nicer out there this morning. We are dealing with that slow traffic on 28 between Tarentum and Creighton. We've been dealing with that lane restriction in each direction. Once again, that's pretty close, going to continue pretty close to the middle of October. Now, looking at the inbound side, as you head past Harmer all the way to the north side, that's not bad. The outbound side slows right around the Highland Park Bridge, but as you head out toward Fox Chapel, everything opens up, moving much better. Delafield on-ramp to the outbound side of 28 is now closed. Also closed over in Verona, Penn Hills area, Verona Road at 2nd Street. They're reconstructing that entire intersection. That's going to be closed until the end of October, so you do have a posted detour to get to around that work zone. Our next AAA traffic on the 5s at 9:35. I'm Kathy Bergren on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
All right, we'll take a little sunshine. We did get a rain shower overnight. It's going to be a cool week. Today's high is 64, and then tomorrow's high only 58. So enjoy right now, 55 degrees.
We went to a fundraiser Saturday night. Amazing. For pennies from heaven, they've helped 750,000 families. Wow. Who have kids in the hospital and they can't afford to pay their own bills. Pennies from heaven has helped 750,000 families. Hard to imagine. That charity started by John Perry. Why his firm is called CaringLawyers.com. CaringLawyers.com.
It's 9:37 on this Monday. Wow, we've gone through a lot of details of some pretty incredible stories, some heart-wrenching moments, and now you talk about hometown hero. I don't think that's too much to explain our next guest. It's somebody that a lot of people know.
Susan Copen.
Anchor woman on our Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Susan, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up? You saved a life, did you? You saved another life.
Well, you know what? Before we get to this incredible story, your life, I mean, you've got to think about, you yourself were on the edge of death.
No, she died.
Yeah. I mean, Susan, for those that don't know that part of the story, I think it's important they understand that and then the latest chapter in your life. So take us back. How long has it been now since you were jogging and you literally collapsed?
It was 2011, so it will be 11 years. And I was training for the Pittsburgh Half Marathon. I was running in Shadyside, and I dropped dead on the sidewalk, suffering cardiac arrest. And luckily, two medical students from Pitt were driving by at that very moment. And my friends, you know, were waving their hands for help, and they hopped out of their car and gave me CPR right there on the sidewalk.
Susan, how long were you dead, so people know this?
I was out for 7 minutes.
Wow.
And I did say to my doctor, well, how was I dead if I'm alive now? And he said, when your heart is not beating, you are clinically dead. Wow. So it, I was dead for 7 minutes.
Did you, you know, we often hear about somebody that has a near-death experience. Did you have any of those experiences in that moment?
So I don't remember anything about the incident. My memory was really affected by the whole thing. But, you know, people always ask me, did you see a light on the other side? What
right.
did you see? And the only thing I can remember is complete darkness, but the most incredible peace that you can't even describe. So I have zero fear of ever dying.
Really?
It was so incredible.
That's important.
Yeah. Man.
Zero
yeah.
fear of ever dying, because yeah. I was going to ask you, what is the aftermath of that in your own life?
Yeah. And I mean, that's just my personal experience, right. but it was, I had no fear. I had no pain. I just had the most overwhelming sense of peace and calm. So, yeah. So when my time comes, you know, I know I'll be in a better place. So.
Susan Copen is a zealot about CPR. No, I'm serious.
Yes.
I still have your card on the tips in my wallet. And tell us how that came into play recently. This is an unbelievable story.
This was back in July, and we're doing the story now because the man in the story, we just got a chance to meet and agreed to do the story because we want people to learn CPR. So back in July, I was driving home. It was about 11:30, and I was on Penn Avenue, ready to turn onto South Dallas. This is in Point Breeze in the city of Pittsburgh, very, very busy intersection. And I was at the red light, waiting to turn, and I saw a guy come in the opposite direction. He drifted through the intersection, then he drifted by me, and I watched him, and I said, he doesn't look right, and then he hopped the curb and crashed into a fence. So I knew immediately he was having a medical emergency. I hopped out of my car, ran across two lanes of traffic, got to him, and I said, buddy, are you okay? And he was out. And he was doing something called agonal breathing, which is like you're gasping for air. It's like a fish out of water, and it's a telltale sign that someone is not getting oxygen to their brain. And he didn't have a pulse, so I knew he was in cardiac arrest. So I just popped his seatbelt, grabbed him under the armpits,
wow.
and started dragging him out of his car.
You're unbelievable.
Susan.
Wow. That's insanely cool. Ma'am.
Do you feel like you lived and then you were given a chance to
wow.
save another life in the
wow.
process, along with educating a lot of people about this?
Well, I definitely survived for a reason, and I've always made it my mission to tell people, listen, CPR saves lives, and you don't have to be good at it, and you don't have to do anything special. You just have to do something.
Man.
You need to bridge the gap from incident to the moment that first responders can get there. And so, I mean, when I grabbed him and started pulling him out of his car, I realized, all right, I need some help. So I yelled, whoever's standing behind me, grab his leg. And we laid him right down on Penn Avenue, and I just started compressions. And I did hands-only CPR. So I was just standing over him, pressing as hard as I could in the center of his chest. And I just kept screaming, come on, dude, stay with me. Let's go. Stay with me. So hoping that he might be able to hear me and know that people were trying to save him.
What did he say to you when you finally had the chance to? And I know you're sharing this at 4 o'clock today.
5 o'clock, right? 5 o'clock?
Yes, and it's in the 5 o'clock hour on Channel 11.
And 9-time Emmy Award-winning journalist, network.
She's the best.
Yes.
Best ever.
What a story. But what did he say to you when he finally had a chance to thank you for saving his life?
Well, I got to tell him the whole story because he doesn't remember anything. So he was listening to every detail. And then he did say that I was his angel. And I said, listen, I just was in the right place at the right time
no.
and did something.
No, that's heroic.
Yeah.
That's insanely amazing.
Wow.
It's incredible, and I can't wait to see the story. Thank you for jumping on with us this morning and sharing it.
That's amazing.
Thanks, guys.
5 o'clock tonight. I got to see this.
Hometown hero.
She's amazing.
Anchorwoman Susan Copeland.
I couldn't have done that. I don't know if I would have done it.
You know, her story is pretty incredible and pretty powerful, especially the part about being at peace.
My goodness.